It's easy to talk about transparency and openness in government, and harder, it seems, to keep in good practice on those principles. More than a few reporters and public officials have pointed to an erosion over time in the robustness of public records law in Oregon. Too many records that were supposed to be public turned out not to be, or not available quickly anyway. The recently ended session of the Oregon legislature produced four new laws on public records. Let's get a sense of what they do and how they're being received. For that, we turn back to Shasta Kearns Moore, who's joining us for the second time this year. She is the Oregon Sunshine Committee Chair of the regional chapter of SPJ, the Society of Professional Journalists, and she herself is a working reporter for the Portland Tribune. Shasta, thanks for joining us once again.
Hi, thanks so much.
Can you give us the general state of open records law before this legislative session, what the concerns were coming into it?
Sure. So the original open records law was passed in 1973, right as the Nixon hearings were going on, and everybody was getting pretty concerned about, hey, wait a second, who owns these records that our government is creating? So ever since then, kind of more and more exemptions were passed to this law, and agencies kind of, at least from my experience and with talking to a lot of journalists, agencies became more and more recalcitrant about actually providing those records. So some of the big issues, maybe even the biggest issue, was a lack of a deadline. So there was no way to force an agency to give you, even if it was just a one-page email in a certain amount of time. So that's a big issue. What continues to be an issue, even after this legislative session, is that there's really no standard structure for fees. But the new laws do provide some recourse for if an agency is just charging out the nose for records.
So what kinds of fees? I mean, how much variability did you find out there in what agencies were charging as fees for handing over public records?
Well, yeah, so that wasn't the fee issue wasn't something that we tackled in this legislative session. But, you know, I've just kind of anecdotally found that a lot of times agencies will use legal fees, you know, the cost of legal review to kind of expand how much they can charge to the requester. Or Oregon law provides for a waiver if you are making the request in the public interest. And by definition, news reporters, because they are, you know, reporting this out to the public, are operating in the public interest. So sometimes even when news reporters would request a waiver, they wouldn't receive one.
Shasta, I wonder how much of a complicating factor emails have been in maintaining public records, because I'm sure there have been at least a few people over the years who thought, oh, no, that's my email. That's my office. I get to keep that, and had to be disabused of the notion that they own it because it was done on public computers on public business.
Right. I think that is a problem. You know, in 1973, we didn't really have email or just the vast amount of information and data that we have. You know, even public officials' social media accounts are technically public record if they're using them for public business. So things like that, it's just kind of a brave new world, and we really needed to update our laws about that. And, you know, if you're coming over from the private sector or something, agencies a lot of times don't do a great job of educating you about, that your emails are public record. So, some of the new laws will help with that.
Let's talk about some of the chipping away that had happened over the years, because I understand Oregon's original public records law was, you know, it had some robustness to it, but over the years exemptions were provided for in later laws. And how many exemptions had been added over the years?
At last count, there were over 550 exemptions to the public records law. And then another important part of that is that the exemptions were often written so that it was an agency could use this as an exemption and not provide the record, but there was a presumption of openness. But kind of over the years, that attitude was kind of lost in some agencies, and they were using that as we must exclude this from the public record rather than, you know, we have a right to if we so choose.
Oh, so a you can became a you must.
Right.
Okay. So,
and then that was another way in which, the fees would explode because, you know, they could claim pretty reasonably, well, we don't know what's exempt and what's not. So we need a lawyer to go through all of this and make sure that we're not violating one of these 550 exemptions.
Wow. So having gone through this process of watching some erosion in Oregon's public records law, still was beginning this legislative session, was Oregon still better than a lot of states or somewhere in the middle of the pack or sliding down the charts? Or what's your sense of that?
I can't remember what organization it was, but pretty recently we got an F from them on transparency in our laws. So I think that things had split pretty badly, but I'm hopeful that these new laws that were passed kind of put us back towards the top.
Our guest is Shasta Kearns Moore. She's the Oregon Sunshine Committee Chair of the Regional Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, or SPJ. You can join the conversation about public records law in Oregon at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. What would you like to see in the public eye if you haven't been aware of it being out there before? Let's get your sense of that. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. It's not just pressure from journalists. There was pressure within state government as well, and the Attorney General and Governor certainly both talked about favoring more openness. What had either done before this session, Shasta?
So the Attorney General almost 2 years ago started a task force in which she, you know, cobbled together a bunch of people all across the state to talk about, you know, what kind of reforms do you want to see to this public records law? You know, and there were a lot. So, you know, we talked about the deadlines and the fees, but there's also, you know, what's our ability to appeal and lots of other issues. So that task force eventually decided to focus pretty narrowly on the deadline issue to see if they could come to a consensus on that. And that's eventually what they did. You know, the current governor, as I'm pretty sure all of your listeners know, came into her office when the previous governor had a scandal, and there was a lot of public records issues around that. So that kind of spurred, I think, this catalyzing moment in Oregon government where there was a lot of political will to reform some of these public records laws.
Let me come back to some real specifics here, because you may have some anecdotes of your own to share with us. But just what have been some of the fees that you have had to pay or been requested to pay anyway, and what kinds of deadlines when you asked for records? I mean, how long did it take for records to be produced, if they ever were?
Yeah, so my experience is in education and you know, education reporting, and a lot of school districts, you know, because of FERPA, the student privacy law, they kind of operate, they seem to me to operate pretty differently than a lot of other governments and feel that there's a lot more bent towards privacy and secrecy there. So, you know, and then there's also organizations like Oregon Health and Science University or community colleges that are kind of quasi-governmental. So they also kind of feel like, wait a second, why do we have to comply with this law? So, for example, Portland Community College a couple of years ago had a dispute with its president, Jeremy Brown, and when we requested the records of, you know, emails between the board and the president about this issue, they were going to charge something like $5,000. For that. So that was a pretty outrageous amount for, you know, what amounted to a keyword search in email.
Was it based on any amount of staff time or anything, or was it just a figure plucked out of the air from what you could tell?
I can't remember if we asked for a detailed invoice, but that was one of the issues where there was legal fees involved. So they wanted, you know, a lawyer at $400 an hour or something to go through and see if there were any redactions that needed to be made.
Wow, so $5,000 in a fee, and then have there been times you've asked for records and never ever gotten them, or just gotten them after months and months?
Well, yeah, so I don't know if listeners in Southern Oregon, you know, recall this, but Portland Public Schools had significant issues with lead in their water And so there were a lot of people who were very interested to find out, you know, who knew what when. And so there were a lot of public records requests flying there. And, you know, some of that was just because of the volume of requests. But, you know, it would just be tough to even get an answer of, like, when are we going to get these? And you know, what even do you guys have? Things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. I've asked about the governor and the attorney general's involvement of this, but we also have the new secretary of state as of this year, Dennis Richardson from Central Point. Did he provide a bit of a push on public records as well coming into the legislative session?
Yeah, definitely. Dennis Richardson really helped, you know, push for the formation of the Oregon Sunshine Committee that we'll have now. He and his state archivist, Mary Beth Herkert, also announced that they will kind of be instituting some more educational efforts to educate state agencies about what their obligations are under the law. So, yeah, Dennis Richardson has definitely been a champion for public records access.
Public records is the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange with Shasta Kearns Moore, the Oregon Sunshine Committee Chair of the Regional Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, SPJ. She also reports for the Portland Tribune. You can join us on the Exchange as we talk about public records and things that should be under public eye and sometimes are not. 800-838-3760 to join by phone, join by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So four separate bills emerged from the legislature. Was there a hope coming in that there'd be one comprehensive bill, or was there just too much to tackle in one?
Definitely too much to tackle in one. And there was also, I think, pushes from different sides of government. So one of them, you know, came was pushed for by the governor. The other one was the attorney general. Another was, or the other two that we find significant were from the House. So, you know, I think just, again, because we had this catalyzing moment with the former governor, Kitzhaber, I think that there was a lot of interest in this all of a sudden.
So given that some of these bills create committees, are there concerns on your part that the committees will add complexity to the process, or do you think they will be helpful?
Well, we at Oregon SPJ push for the creation of some of those committees precisely because it will allow more public access to these processes. You know, some of the previous bills called for legislative committee, so just, you know, a handful of representatives to review exemptions, for example. So I think it's really important that members of the public have the opportunity to weigh in on some of these issues before they get passed into law, because, you know, as we discovered at Oregon SPJ, the legislative session just goes so fast. And, you know, ideas are flying and amendments are flying. So I think it's really important to have a kind of upfront process to review all this stuff.
So that Sunshine Committee we've been talking about comes under Oregon House Bill 2101, is that right?
That's right.
Something of a time release bill, it seems like. So the Sunshine Committee will review records over how many years?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
It's not a records, it's exemptions.
2026.
It's actually reviewing exemptions, is that right?
Right, reviewing exemptions. And I think it might even be indefinitely because, you know, there's always going to be somebody who's coming up with a new exemption. And another aspect of 2101 is that it creates open government impact statements. So I think everybody knows what a fiscal impact statement is, but an open government impact statement would be, you know, any law that's going to either provide more openness or add a new exemption will now have to have this statement so that the public can weigh in on whether or not, you know, what are the pros and cons of doing that, and is that in the public interest?
Okay, so all 550 exemptions plus are likely to get reviewed over the course of the next 9 years?
No, probably not all of them. I think there's, you know, a significant portion that everybody agrees, you know, aren't going to be reviewed. Things like, you know, police officers' home addresses or something like that. You know, I don't think that there's anybody who's really rattling the cage to make that public.
Okay, so there are some things that will be left off that list. From the way you look at things, though, Shasta, with what passed in this legislative session, will it be easier in the very near future to request a document or a set of documents and get them in a short amount of time? And if so, at which levels of government?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
With what passed in this legislative session, will access to documents be easier, cheaper, quicker? And if so, at what levels of government?
I think they will be easier and cheaper, but I think that people also need to, you know, educate themselves on their rights and the new responsibilities of state agencies. You know, so one of the measures that passed was for a public records advocate. So, you know, you have to know that there is a public records advocate and how to petition them and, you know, follow the guidelines, which is that you have to make a written request and things like that. So, but once you do that, then you can, if you like, be part of a mediation process in which the state agency or city has to, you know, come to this process and engage with you about why they're not giving you these records.
So, Shasta, just a little less than a minute left. Would you characterize the what came out of this legislative session as a real change or a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think it's a big step in the right direction. You know, there's definitely more to be done, and there's always ways in which people are going to find loopholes. But I think that these are some of the biggest reforms that we've seen since 1973. So I think it's, you know, a great new chapter for Oregon transparency.
Okay, so yeah, public records law in Oregon certainly got some changes in this legislative session. We got Senate Bill 481, Senate Bill 106, House Bill 2101, House Bill 3361. And Shasta Kearns Moore has helped us to understand what's in those bills. She's the Oregon Sunshine Committee Chair of the Regional Chapter of SPJ, the Society of Professional Journalists. She's also a reporter for the Portland Tribune and a board member of Open Oregon. Shasta, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.